I had an opportunity to look through it. Man, this is wonderful, really well put together. Guys, use it, learn from it. It's a joy. It was put together with a lot of love for you and for us. So appreciate it. You know, you go to bookstores and stuff, man, you pay 10, 15 bucks, man. I'll tell you what, you get it for free because the price has already been paid. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. I hope you all don't mind if I read the King James. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all." That's a very important little statement, isn't it? Above all, taking the shield of faith. "Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now notice, if you will, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." What's the prominent word in that verse? All. All. Four times. And I count the word always there. Praying always. In other words, at all occasions. That's what it means. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. A mother of a preschooler was tucking her child in for the night when the little girl asked if she could pray. Delighted, the mom told her it was a great idea to talk to Jesus. As the little one began praying, her words kept getting softer and softer until only her lips were moving. And then she said, "Amen." "And honey," the mom said, giving her a hug, "I didn't hear a word you said." "That's okay, Mama," the child responded. "I wasn't talking to you." Not too many years ago, a family had a 1956 station wagon that picked the most inopportune time to refuse to start. A mom and her 4-year-old son were about to set off on an errand, wanting to instill in him the need to trust God for everything. She asked him to pray before they left. The 4-year-old closed his eyes tightly and he prayed, "Dear Lord, please help this piece of junk start." Isn't that a wonderful thing that he really nailed, you know, his own parents' car, a piece of junk? But that's a 4-year-old, isn't it? What can be said about prayer that hasn't already been said? Volumes have been written over the centuries dealing with the necessity of prayer, the methods of prayer, the do's and don'ts of prayer, the whys and the wherefores of prayer, the history of prayer and the like. But what good is it to pore over these volumes without praying? Ever thought about that? We can have volumes and volumes of books in our shelves that talk about prayer, and we may never pray. Andrew Murray, in his book, The Spiritual Life, he writes, "The unconverted man says," well, listen carefully, he says, "the unconverted man says, conversion is easy tomorrow, but hard today. I'll put it off. Even so, prayer that is now difficult appears easy in the future. Alas, you will find it just as hard in the future as now. Reading a book about prayer, listening to lectures and talking about it is very good, but it won't teach you to pray. You get nothing without exercise and without practice. I might listen for a year to a professor of music playing the most beautiful music, but that won't teach me to play an instrument." What wise words. The great evangelist D.L. Moody is quoted as saying, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. In his book, Daily Thoughts for Disciples, Oswald Chambers wrote, "We take for granted that prayer is preparation for work, whereas prayer is the work." Prayer is the work. Intercessory prayer is God's chosen way of working. With all of this having been said, we look to the context of Paul's statement here in Ephesians chapter 6. Prayer may be seen as an extension of the equipment of God's armor that has been made available to us. Prayer happens to be the concluding theme of the book of Ephesians, and even though it is closely related to the armor of God, a distinction has to be made due to its particular nature. It can be seen as a weapon, a great weapon, as a matter of fact. It should be the supreme weapon to use against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But it is much more than a weapon. Prayer is much more than a weapon. When engaged in spiritual warfare, regardless of how well we wear truth and righteousness and faith and salvation, regardless of how well we are grounded in peace, regardless of how well we wield the sword of the word, we must make prayer the first and foremost thing. Because it comes at the end of the list of the armor of God doesn't mean that it's the last thing we do. Sometimes lists build up to the greatest of things. And prayer is the greatest of things. Why? Because we are having communication with the Almighty, with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We are speaking to the One who made all things before all things were made. You see, access was made for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, as if the Lord had come down and put his hands on, you know, the New York City phone book and ripped it right in half. And he tore that veil in the temple from top to bottom, signifying the access that has now been made by the blood of Christ into the very Holy of Holies, the throne room of God. And we're told in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of His grace to receive mercy and to find grace for help in time of need. Why do we pray? We have needs. Does anybody ever wake up in the morning with no need whatsoever? Lord, I ain't bothering you today because I've got everything I need. I need somebody to help me out of bed. It's like another day. Now point me to the kitchen. Point me to the coffee, you know. I need the Lord. I don't want to start the day without Him. We must always be in prayer. John MacArthur puts it this way. He said, prayer is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. It is the all-pervasive strategy in which warfare is fought. I mean, a certain phrase has been spoken so many times, but it's worth repeating. The Christian soldier fights on his knees. The Christian soldier goes to war on his knees. Edward Payson. If you are interested in reading about prayer from the standpoint of someone who is so deeply in a wonderful relationship to the Lord because of prayer, look up Edward Payson on the internet and read some of the things that he wrote. But Edward Payson said this. He said, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to minister. The first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to minister. Pray, therefore, my dear brother, pray, pray, pray. So to make prayer the seventh piece of armor is to bring the whole of the armor to perfection and completion. Prayer is the completion of all of the armor of God that the Lord has given to us. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Jesus urged his disciples to pray always and not to lose heart. That's Luke 18, by the way. Luke 18, verse 1. He urged the disciples to pray always and not to lose heart. You know, have you ever seen in your own life that when you start to lose heart and you just start to kind of slide back a little bit in your trust in the Lord, you start doubting or you just find yourself overwhelmed by the situations that you're facing, that all of a sudden you're not really trusting the Lord, you're not really praying, you're not really going to the source. You know, prayer becomes the last thing you do, not the first. See, I think what it is that we sometimes, again, get this idea that, I pray three times a day, right? Breakfast, lunch, supper. What about those guys that eat six times a day? You know, they have to pray six times. They're really spiritual, right? But we think it's just like we just kind of systematize ourselves into this way of thinking about prayer, when we have one very, very clear verse of Scripture: pray without ceasing. It's First Thessalonians 5, you know, that Paul says to that church. He says, pray without ceasing. See, Jesus knew quite well that when the battle gets tough, we could easily become tired, we can become weak, we can become discouraged. So as we struggle with the enemy, it's either pray or faint, right? And what an excellent place it is for us to see praying with all prayer and supplication right after we're given the elements of the armor of God, because, you know, that's warfare. It's a reminder that every day we're in the warfare of the Spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Paul said, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. That's what we're wrestling with every day. No. There's no vacation from it. There's no rest, you know. There's no R&R. Paul uses four alls, I mentioned earlier, to show us 5 points on the importance and power of prayer. The first is praying always. Praying always. In other words, pray at all times. One translation says, pray on all occasions. This is a command to pray continually, with consistency, and with constancy. Notice those three words: continually, consistently, we could even add a fourth, or consistency and constancy, I should say. Continually, consistency, and constancy with those things. You go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and if you just want to mark down the reference and look it up later, but in Acts 1, 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The word there for continued in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1, the word for continued in the Greek literally means to be constantly diligent. It's a very powerful word in the Greek. Constantly diligent. When they continued, that didn't mean they continued until it was 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Hey, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where God is? You should be seeking Him. Let me ask you this. Just think about the question. It's directed to get us to think. When do you usually pray? When do you usually pray? Now, most people would say that they would pray in times of great difficulty. Some would only pray at church. Is that why we go to church? We just go to church because that's where we pray. There are some people that think that. They don't pray at home, they just pray at church. Because church is there for you to pray at. Where's the first church? Where's the first church? Our homes. We need to pray there. We need to pray there. As I said, others pray three times a day. But when asked what position he assumed when he prayed, a man explained how he had once fallen into a well head first, and he got stuck head down in the mud at the bottom. And he said, "The prayingest prayer I ever prayed, I prayed standing on my head." Can you imagine falling into a well? What do you think he was going to do? Pray, man, he was praying. That's the way it goes. What Paul is saying when he commands us to pray, always, is that all situations of life, and I should say all situations in life, should draw forth prayer from us. Notice I didn't say some situations, I said all situations. How many of you had good situations today? Did you have good situations? I hope you all had a good situation. You know, because you're still breathing. Gee, oh yeah, well there's one. Even if you had one, you had one. You had a good situation. Did you thank God for it? Did you thank God for the air that you breathe, for the water that you drink? Did you thank God for your spouse? Did you thank God for your children? Did you thank God for that car that you brought here tonight? Even if it's a, or, you know, smoke bomb or whatever. Now, none of you have smoke bombs. But you got here. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If you haven't marked it in your Bible, it's just three words in one verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Is that possible? Well, I have to answer yes and no. Yes, it's possible. It is impossible to carry on a running verbal dialogue with the Lord while we're at our work, at our business, or while we're teaching, or while we're doing whatever it is that we do. But prayer is not so much the articulation of words. You see, we have to understand that about prayer. Prayer isn't all about the articulation of words as it is about the posture of our hearts. It's more about the posture of our hearts than it is about the articulation of our words in prayer to God. You know, there are some people that take this seriously to the point that they go off into these little areas. They go into seminaries, or they go into, places, you know, where they all wear robes and they all walk around this way and they have to go pray, you know, 25,000 times a day or whatever it is. They gotta be praying where they go and whatever, you know what I mean? But that's like you when you cloister yourself away from everybody else. I mean, how are you going to serve the Lord? God called him. He said, "Go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." How are you going to do that if you're bumping into each other and praying, you know, because your eyes are closed, your hands are clasped? I try not to be rude here, but the point of the matter is, how do we pray without ceasing? We're to pray at all times to maintain a constant, unbroken consciousness. I will be careful using that word, but it's a constant, unbroken fellowship in God's presence and care. In whatever circumstances we find ourselves, whatever the circumstance, the door is open for prayer. As a matter of fact, the greater the circumstance, the greater the trouble, the greater the trial, the wider the door is open. We make it think like the door is closed all the time. And we have to bang it down. Well, didn't Jesus say, "Knock and the door will be open to you, seek and you shall find"? And it's going to be open. "Come to me," Jesus said. All you that are laboring and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That doesn't sound like a closed door to me. It sounds like the door is wide open for us to come to Jesus whenever we need help. That's why, you see, in Acts 2:42, it tells us that they could, the disciples all gathered together. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. In prayers. Notice, plural, prayers. They didn't just, you know, say a prayer here and there. They prayed. There were prayers lifted up all the time by the church. Praying with all prayer and supplication. I mean, various situations demand a variety in prayer. That's what this means. You know, praying with all prayer and supplications. Confession. Confession is prayer. Thanksgiving. There are prayers of thanksgiving. Intercession, praying for others. Adoration, just giving praise to God as you've done tonight. Meditation, waiting upon the Lord and His Word, because you've been reading and studying. You're saying, Lord, give me the knowledge, give me the wisdom, the understanding of this passage. Humility before God. Praise and song. All of these are varieties of prayer. All of these are types of prayer, and every believer is to be skilled at them. Every believer, not just some. All of us are called. All of the Word of God is for us to learn about that communication that we are to have daily, constantly, consistently with the Lord. One look at this phrase, and we would think that Paul was being redundant. Isn't he saying the same thing? Pray with all prayer. A closer look at the language reveals that we are, in essence, to make prayer with all worship and with every request, both general and specific. If you're writing notes there in your little booklet in the middle, take four lines. At the beginning of the first line, put a big A. Underneath that, put a C. And the second line below it, underneath that, put a T, and underneath that put an S. That, of course, spells Acts, like the Acts of the Apostles, which is really the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. But A-C-T-S, Acts, is a way for us to remember when we pray all the various kinds of prayer that God wants to hear from us when we take the time to pray. Acts, A is adoration. So next to the A, put doration. So it says adoration. And then where the C is, you put confession. Where the T is, you put thanksgiving. And where the S, you put supplications. I think the adoration, confession, and thanksgiving are pretty clear. Supplications. What is a supplication? Well, there's a word in the word supplication. The word is supply. We go to the Lord for the supply of the things that we need spiritually from God. Whatever it is that may be lacking in our lives or in the lives of others that we're praying for, we are praying in supplication. So Lord, these are the things that we need. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'll make... You'll meet, I should say, all of our needs. And of course, what does Paul say? He says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So sometimes we just need to come back to His Word. And prayer brings us back to His Word. You ought to consider the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, you know, what He was doing was teaching the pattern of prayer. He wasn't teaching a prayer to pray. He was teaching a pattern of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. What is that? That's adoration. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's supplication. Forgive us our debts. That's confession. as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That's thanksgiving. Oh, we're thankful that all is yours. Praying in the Spirit. Our prayer is to be Spirit-directed. Praying in the Spirit. Again, you go back. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Our prayer is to be Spirit-directed. If you go back to Romans chapter 8 for a moment, and verses 26 and 27, I don't know if we went there yet. Well, maybe we did. All right. Well, anyway, go there. Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Some of us may be here tonight because we're going through a little bit of a struggle physically. It is Pastor Tom and my desire tonight that we don't leave here without laying our great burdens down before God and expecting great things from our God, who wants us to expect great things from Him. And if there's need for healing, listen, we need to pray for Sig's wife, Judy. She's been very sick. We need to pray for Sig. We need to pray for his family, you know, because they're taking care of little ones, and I think that's, you know, it's been a tremendous burden for us to see how much they've had to take on, and then she's really, really been sick. I didn't hear the latest, so I don't know. So we're going to pray for her tonight, but maybe you came in here with an affliction that you need to pray for. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We are to pray in concert with the Spirit, in other words. We are to pray in concert with the Spirit, which means that we are to pray in agreement and partnership with the Holy Spirit to join our petitions to His and our will to His. We are to line up, in other words, our minds and our desires with His, which are consistent with the will of the Father and of the Son. Think of the blessing, the benediction of Jude at the end of that one chapter letter, Jude. In verses 20 and 21, when he says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. We need to connect with that thought. We need to connect with that, what that means. The prayer isn't just prayer for the sake of prayer or for the sake of words. I mean, you know, I've been places where some guys, you know, just write flowery words and then they pray like, is he done yet? You know, because it's like, all right, so you had no big words, but you know what? There's a need, you know. Peter, when he went out to the Lord, when the Lord told him, called him out of the boat, you know, when there was a storm and Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter goes out and, you know, for a while there, he had his eyes on Jesus and he was walking over the storm and everything was cool until he got a glimpse of the sea, you know, and then he started sinking. You know, what was his prayer? Dear Father, oh most gracious, omnipotent. Are you kidding, man? He said, help! And it was that prayer that Jesus heard and pulled him right out of the water. He was going down for the third time. Finally, he just said, help, Lord. Sometimes that's all we got to say in great times of distress. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And then there's watching, therefore, with all perseverance. We are to pray with persistence and alertness. How often did Jesus tell his disciples to watch and pray, especially on the night that he was betrayed? Sometimes we don't pray long because we don't put ourselves in a position or a place where we can pray long. If it's too comfortable, you're going to fall asleep. It's been known to happen. Don't use a lazy boy to pray. Unless you're standing on it. Because that way you have to keep your balance. And you got to be alert for that. So just kind of stand. Oh, Lord, and we're praying for you today. But don't sit on it or, you know, raise up the legs. Yeah, estuvo, man, when you do that. You're gone. Dreamland. Paul counseled the Colossian church to devote themselves to prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch. Notice, continue in prayer and watch. See, these are things that we need to see in the scriptures. Colossians 4:2, don't miss it. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. To be steadfast, constant, and persevering. It was the word used for Moses in Hebrews 11:27 when it said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. That means he endured with perseverance as seeing him who is invisible. Are we able to endure and persevere in prayer as seeing him, God, who is invisible? I'm going to close real quickly here because we want to get to praying here because I don't want to get too late. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Those who persist in prayer will prevail. Don't get into the habit that you pray something and then, you know, you just kind of... It's just like... just half-hearted. You just got to pray. So, well, I'm going to pray for it. And then you're just like, okay, well, I don't know. There it is. And then you go away and then nothing happens. And so you say, well, I prayed. Did you really? Did you ask, seek, knock? Did you try to kick the door in or out, as it were? Have we persisted? Because I honestly believe, and I say this from a practical standpoint, but I honestly believe that if we will be persistent in prayer, there will be a time when the Lord says, okay, I got you. Not all the time, but sometimes. I got you. And we can stop praying. God's either going to do what needs to be done, but it's all going to be according to His will. And a lot of times, He answers your prayer, and you go, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be needing to pray that way this evening. Do not, I'm going to give you a wonderful quote. I'm going to close with this. It's by a man named Phillips Brooks. He said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger people. Pray to be stronger men in the Lord. Pray to be stronger husbands in the Lord. Pray to be stronger fathers in the Lord. Pray to be stronger granddads in the Lord. Pray to be stronger examples of Christ in your workplace in the Lord. Pray for these things. I'm going to ask Pastor Tom to lead us in this time of group prayer and let him explain what we're going to do. I'm reserving the right to pray now because we're going to pray. So let's do that.
We're going to be separating into groups of seven, probably is a good figure. The Lord likes it, so we should too. Groups of seven, and we'll just start praying once we get together, get the groups of seven, about 15, 20 minutes. Please don't get involved in praying for your dog, for your car. You know, the time to pray about your car is when you see the mechanic taking out pamphlets for Hawaii and cruises, and that's when you pray for your car. Right, Ralph? Pray that the Lord will be with you tonight, that the Lord will reveal to us tonight what each of us needs to change in our lives. Pray that the Holy Spirit will inhabit each of our hearts tonight, each of our spirits, minds, and hearts. It's serious prayer, folks. We're here tonight for a purpose. We're here for a reason. This is, as Charlie said, this is no accident. Each of us was moved to answer the call for tonight. And there's a good opportunity here to do some real good changes in our lives for the better. So we'll separate. If you want to stand up and start looking around to get seven guys together, don't start choosing like we do, you know, the baseball game or the basketball game or whatever. The tallest is not necessarily going to be, you know, nothing personal, Robert and Robert. The tallest is not necessarily going to be the best prayer group, but choose people that you feel this guy looks like he wants to pray, really pray. Now, if you will stand up, folks, and we're going to do a corporate prayer after each group has prayed, okay? So we're going to just separate. Seven guys, just look at seven guys there and get together. John, if you want
to... Chairs too much.
Yeah, don't mess up the chairs too much. You don't need to do that. If you want to pull out in the aisles, that's fine. If you want to come up here in front, you don't need... We're not going to be that long, so you don't need to be sitting down. All right. Okay, so seven guys, just get together, please.
We're going to put a pacemaker in Judy right back tomorrow.
Oh, okay. If somebody or all of your groups want to pray for Judy Ryback, they're going to install a pacemaker in her tomorrow. So please lift her up. Please lift up also Brother Richard Ryan, who's having some tests today and Monday, neurological testing, and he needs our prayers. So please lift up these two people. Pray for whatever other things are going on in your life that need to be changed, that you know need to be changed. But just pray in faith, because God is here with us and God will answer our prayers. Amen? Go ahead, John.
When I get to the piano and start playing lightly, you'll know it's about time to wind down, okay? So that's just a signal. But go ahead and start praying.
Join this little group right there. I'm